sit there. Count the little raindrops falling on you. Cause it's time.
To Free City Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is Wednesday, the 7th of April, and I'm your host, Stefan Christophe. Thank you so much for being here. Today on the program, we are going to be speaking with a street artist named David Widgington. David's practice involves street art, but also banner making for protests. His banners speak to different social movements, different demands, both here in Montreal and around the world. His work has traveled to the streets in France, in Chile, and of course here in Montreal. I've gotten the opportunity on different occasions to march with banners that David has made, including one for migrant justice movements for the Status for All campaign to support the demand for all non-status people to be regularized, to have status. I've marched with the banner he made for that, which was just beautiful. I've also marched with a banner that he made in support of the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement in support of Palestine, in support of Palestinian human rights, BDSmovement.net is the website. So I thought it'd be good to talk with David about his art practice. I like how he combines thinking about artistic practice with social movements. And that's obviously one of the focuses here on Free City Radio. So I hope you're all doing well today. We'll be with you until 11:30 here on People Powered Radio at 90.3 FM. Of course, CKUT just had our funding drive. So in case you missed it and would like to donate, you can do so. Just visit ckut.ca, www.ckut.ca, and leave a donation if you'd like to. It'd be greatly appreciated. CKUT is, of course, partly listener-funded radio. So I'm Stefan Christophe. This is Free City Radio. It is Wednesday, the 7th of April. Thanks for tuning in. And here's the interview with David Widgington.
Introduce myself. My name is David Widgington. I'm an artivist. I like to call myself actually an undisciplinary artivist. Okay. I like the idea of being undisciplined and, you know, which is because in the art world, it's either multidisciplinary, transdisciplinary, whatever, but I'm like undisciplinary. And I like using the word artivist because in what I do, I don't make a distinction between art and activism. To me, they're like completely combined. They're unavoidably mixed. So I guess now I'm working on a few projects, but the one that I've been working on the most, I guess, is a series of banners I call the MTL series.
MTL, nice.
Yeah, because I'm in Montreal, from Montreal, but also because I sign them with a particular logo, which is the red square, which comes from 2012.
Nice.
A black star on top of it, and then the letters MTL. So I sign those on this particular series of banners.
Okay, so it's a series of banners you're working on.
Yeah. I want to do 25 in all.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
Yeah. Like that's the plan. And I think I have 12. I think I have 12, about 12 done.
So I've seen some of them and they speak to different campaigns that are happening in the city, different activist movements.
Yeah.
Can you just describe a bit this project and why you felt it was important to try to communicate these social struggles through banners?
Sure. It initially started with the first banner, Resistimos, which I made actually in Chile. I went there for a conference organized by the Hemispheric Institute for Performance and Politics. And I went there to do a performance of creating the banner, painting the banner live.
Wow.
So it was a live performance, and it was part of a route within the conference called Street Art Action, a resistance in urban peripheries. And I was like part of seven, we were eight of us, and we each did our performance one after the other as we went through a neighborhood called La Poblacion, which was the first land reclamation or land possession by people, landless people from the countryside.
Okay.
And it's become a neighborhood of Santiago now.
Okay.
So it was through that neighborhood, and so I made this one banner. I decided to sign it MTL because I'm from Montreal, but I wasn't in Montreal when, like, I made it somewhere else. So I made the banner, exhibited it the following day. The day after that, I went to, and it was during the student strike there. So it was a protest.
In Chile,
So it was a banner in support of free, accessible, and quality education during because there was a student strike that was happening.
Yeah.
And I went on 2 days after I made the banner, I went to a university campus that was being occupied by students and other activists. And I gave them the banner under the condition that I could come back with them the next day to hang it up somewhere.
Okay.
So I went back the following day and we went into the library building and hung it from the facade of the library building, which is in front of the main street. Okay. And it hung there. It stayed there for a month and a half for the whole duration of that occupation of the campus.
So the banner was created as a performance, but also was speaking to the protests that were happening in Chile at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
What did the banner say?
Resistimos, so like let's resist. Por un educación pública gratuita y de calidad. So it's for a free, quality, and access, and free, quality, and accessible education.
Nice.
And it was a sign of a fist. Actually, the fist was taken from a poster from the 2012 student strike, and it had a pencil in it. And the pencil, it was like moving to crush. It smashes the word neoliberalismo, like the image on the banner. I don't know if you've seen it, but
I did see photos. I wasn't in Santiago with you, but I know that there was a lot of dialogue.
Frozen on me could be
the student movement.
I guess yeah, you're still frozen, but
okay,
I don't know if
you can
hear me or if I'm frozen for you.
Well, just wait a minute.
Okay.
We'll just wait a minute.
Oh, you've just come back.
Okay, so this banner that you created and displayed in Chile spoke to that dialogue that was happening between social movements in Quebec and social movements in Chile, particularly the student movement. And your banner making practice has spoken a lot to local struggles in the series that you're working on. This series of banners to speak to different campaigns. Can you detail a bit more why you wanted to work on this banner series to address and support local struggles for justice and why you felt banners were an important thing to do, not as an afterthought, but as an artistic practice?
I guess coincidentally, it's a banner. I mean, I didn't decide to make banners specifically to make a banner. I made a banner, like the first one, Resistimos, to make a banner for that project, and it became the first of the series. So that's why it's a banner, because the first one just happened to be one. But also because I guess since the student strike in Quebec, which I was very active and participated like all the time, actually in demos and organizing and stuff. I kind of got fatigued, if you want to say that. I got like protest fatigue, if you want. So I thought, okay, maybe I can make banners that could, and I could still feel represented in protests without having to go to so many. Maybe it will relieve me of my guilt of not being a good enough activist. I know it's a silly thing, but it's something that it's not.
Sure.
Something that
I mean, that's a real feeling people one, you know? Have for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially after such a huge protest movement, you know, that lasted 6 months and everything. So you're always comparing to your most I was comparing to my most active period recently, and it never seemed like enough. So I decided to make a series of banners for that purpose.
To be at protest.
And yeah, for that protest. And the second one I did after this was just like a couple months after when Trump was elected. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, I made it spontaneously. It wasn't for anything, but there was the Women's March on Washington was happening to protest, like grab her by the pussy and all that. And there was a protest in Montreal, a sister protest. So I made a banner for that I carried in that I went to the march in Montreal. And then I started saying, okay, let's start making more for some groups. So I made one, I went to, the following year, I went to Marseille to visit some friends. And over there, they were doing a lot of work, solidarity work with migrants going through Marseille. And a lot of migrants go through Marseille via Italy before heading elsewhere, or some actually stay. And I met a group there called Solidarité aux Migrants 13, because it's the 13th département in France. So I made a banner, Solidarité sans frontières, which you've seen or which you've used, but the one I made there, I actually gave it to them. So I made another version of the same design here, the one that you know of and you've actually used.
Yeah, I've marched with that banner. Yeah.
Yeah. So have I actually.
Right on.
I made that, and part of the mandate of the project is they're not just works of art, you know, that maybe I'll exhibit one day or whatever, but they're all made available to be borrowed, you know, to be used in demos or drops or whatever like that. So I've made a few, like I made one anti-Israeli apartheid, which is an issue I've been interested in for quite a long time. I made two videos of that when I was part of Les Lucioles. Two videos of
video
that.
Activist collective, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess the latest one that I finished is called Brick a Bank. And it's basically just an image of a window with a brick landing on it and it's smashing. And the text is banks are robbing us of their profits. So I mean it's just issues that I feel attached to, I guess. So I'm not they're not I don't necessarily make them for a particular movement or a particular struggle or but it's just issues that I'm concerned with that maybe deserve to be put forth, you know, if they're not already.
Sure.
Most of them are. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, in thinking about these banners, you know, something that comes to my mind is how hard it is to organize a protest, right? Because when you think about the process of putting a protest together, I mean, some people listening to this will have had that experience, but some people will not have had that experience. Maybe some people went to protests.
Yeah.
But just that idea that actually there's a lot of elements, and also that I can just say personally, there's that nervous feeling that you get when you're waiting for a protest to start and you've tried to pull this together. Often a lot of demonstrations about the issues that you mentioned, you know, protests in solidarity with Palestine, migrant justice protests. These are ones that are organized by people in the community, often without pay, you know, very grassroots networks. There's often this feeling of how is this going to come together? And I can say directly that when you see a banner show up that's hand painted with heart, the whole feeling changes, right? Like all of a sudden that protest becomes something, there's something that like it's almost like it's the banner has brought like this artistic element, but it's also solidified that sense of presence, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the banners that I make, I spend a lot of time on, you know, and I don't want to minimize the value of, you know, a protest banner painted the night before to get a message out of something that's like, is urgent and needs to be done. Those are awesome. And I actually wish I would make more of those just to like, so it allows me to actually be spontaneous with issues and stuff like that. But I've only done it once so far, for Wet'suwet'en train blockade, railway blockade last year.
Okay.
But
yeah, the solidarity actions here in Montreal.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And but it's true that when there's several nice banners, it's sort of like consolidates or it somehow brings a type of importance or feeling or emotion or I don't know, like, you know what I mean? It's hard to explain exactly. But I can give an example. It's another student strike example. It wasn't a banner we brought in, but we were a group of people. We made these giant red square flags that were like 6 meters long. We put them on 12-foot piping, you know, a PVC tubing. And we made one for the 75th consecutive march and one for the 100th consecutive night march. And when I remember on the 100th one, we walked in, I think we were like 9 people with giant red flags. And one of them was written on it, you know, 100th consecutive march. And the feeling within the crowd, everyone like turned, looked, there was like thousands and thousands of people, but we all arrived at the same time. And it just like brought like a roar in Place Émile Gamelin. So that's the kind of feeling that extra effort is put into banners or to some kind of action or group or singing or some kind of thing like that is really effective to like pull people together and people go, yeah, we're all in this together, you know?
So that was the 100th consecutive night protest during the student strike in 2012.
Yeah, I can't remember the date, but
that would have been somewhere at the beginning of September, I would imagine.
Probably.
Or late August.
Yeah, probably late August. Anyways, yeah, because the first one was.
So let's just go back to this idea of artivist and your work. You mentioned spending a lot of time on these banners. So they're hand painted. Can you talk a little bit about the process?
Sure. I always start with something that I'm inspired, like an issue or a topic that inspires me. I do a lot of sampling. Like I'm not an artist who can like just sit down and illustrate something and it looks nice. I'm a terrible illustrator. I can't draw basically. So what I do is I go online and I find images. Mm-hmm. Then I do a montage in like a digital version of a montage, and I do the text and I do all the layout with images and stuff. And then I project the montage onto the textile, to the sheet, the banner sheet that I'm going to paint on. And I trace the images that I've done based on how I'm imagining I'm going to paint it.
Oh, wow.
Because the design that I'm using doesn't always look like the final product. Like, for example, I have one banner called Tapette en feu contre le fascisme, flaming faggots against fascism. And there's like one character who's actually one figure who's throwing a Molotov cocktail at the word fascism at the end of the thing. So I basically found a video. Was actually an animated GIF of someone throwing a Molotov cocktail. So I froze frame at exactly where I wanted my figure to be. And I took that and I stuck it on my design. So, I mean, I really like the figure looks amazing. Like it's perfect stance and everything for the throw, but it's not my throw. I didn't create that image.
But you're sampling, as you said.
Yeah,
you're sampling images and sources to sort of compile a message based on moments within our time.
Yeah, and part of the sampling is done on purpose. It's deliberate, not only because I can't draw, but also because of the idea of oppositional cultural heritage. And that comes
talk
with
about
the
idea, please. Yeah.
That comes with the idea that, you know, the idea that what is a protester, what is an activist, what makes them feel as though they are those things, or at what point do they does one incorporate that identity? You know, when does one call himself an activist or whatever? And a lot of it comes to how one sees oneself within movements, but also how one recognizes a feeling by looking at protest artifacts, like other banners and other and posters. And when you go into to friends' houses and you see posters of different movements on their walls and you feel like you belong to it, it's because there are recognizable elements on these things. For example, the raised fist is like the classic one. If you see the raised fist anywhere, you automatically know what it means. It's struggle, it's fighting, it's combative. And if you're an activist or you're one who opposes injustices, then you'll identify with a poster that has that fist. You know, so all of these elements, I borrow elements like those things into my work so that it could create kind of like a lineage. Hmm. That the person who's looking at my works and other works feel that they're part of a lineage or and it makes me feel like my work is part of a lineage of oppositional cultural heritage. It's part of the heritage. Hmm.
So there's you're talking about a dialogue of symbols that happens through protest movements.
Yeah, and the importance of archiving them, of having archival material, and not just, and when I say archiving, I don't mean like putting them away in some drawer so that they collect dust, you know, so some researcher at some future date will look at it and go, oh look, this thing happened in such a date. I think of archive not so much as memory, but more of like as a storage, you know, it's storing things for future use. You know, it's not put away so you can remember them. They're stored so they can be reused in the future. And that whole idea about using the imagery and the symbols, it kind of brings struggles of the past into contemporary fold, which could be pessimistic in a way if you think, wow, we've been fighting this for 20 years and not much has changed, you know. That could be one perspective, but it also the perspective of struggle needs to be ongoing. Because the rights or whatever that have been fought for and won will just be taken away if we don't maintain them, and we don't, you know, could sure, be taken sure. away and probably well, would be. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a really good point in terms of like political history, right? Like this idea that the benevolence of power sort of bestows certain rights upon society, whether it's around labor rights or gender rights or even environmental policy, none of which are anywhere close to what they should be, but the gains that have been made are deeply connected to social struggle.
Absolutely. And now we see like in the US, you know, where the idea that maybe abortion rights that have been won are now like put up again in the courts to maybe having them taken away based on, you know, new political conservatism and right-wing politics and stuff. So just because they've been won in the past doesn't mean that we can say, oh, we already have those rights, let's move on to something else. So it needs to be constantly fought for and maintained and have to keep getting more and more if possible, but never to not stop. And I guess people ask me, are you a revolutionary? And I say, no, there's no way I'm a revolutionary. I take more the term of, is it Victor Hugo? No, it's not Victor Hugo. Anyway, L'homme révolté. That's not Victor Hugo. Anyways, I have a blank.
But anyways, I get the idea. Yeah.
I'm in a constant state of revolt, which might assist in revolutionary process, but once a revolution takes place, I will still be in revolt against the new powers in play because they will the powers will always be abused at some point. So
yeah, that process. So
I'm not interested in taking power, in destroying power to take over the power. I'm just interested in maintaining a state of struggle to maintain things and to improve things constantly, no matter who's in power.
That was a discussion with artist David Widgington. He has a project called Burning Billboard. He also has a practice of creating banners for social movements, both here in Montreal and around the world. I like his work. I like the dialogue between artistic practice and social movements, and I wanted to feature his work here on Free City Radio. So thanks for tuning in. I'm Stefan Christoff. We broadcast every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Here on CKUT. We also now have a podcast, which comes out weekly on Tuesdays. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. Just search Free City Radio. Thanks for tuning in. The F Files is coming up at 11:30. And to go out, I'm going to play a piece of music that I worked on as part of a campaign in support of Sudanese Montrealer Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik, who struggled for justice to return home for many years. He was exiled and imprisoned in Sudan without trial. And there was a very big and important campaign to support his right of return as a recognized refugee here in Canada. I worked on an album called Duets for Abdulrazik, and I wanted to play a piece from that album that I worked on with cellist Rebecca Foon. This is a piano and cello duet. This is Free City Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week with Free City Radio, of course, at 11 a.m. I'm your host, Stefan Christoff, and keep it locked on People Powered Radio. Again, F Files is at 11:30. Stay tuned.
Good morning. You are listening to the F-Files on CKUT 90.3 FM. It's just after 11:30 on this Wednesday morning. However, I'm recording this from my studio on a Sunday up in the Chabanel District. Beautiful outside today, bright and sunny. Really hoping when this episode finds you, it will also be beautiful, bright and sunny.